the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to the final hour of Sports Talk. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan. It is the absolute August sale, the lowest prices of the year. Still got time to come by and take advantage of that. And know that with any trade-in you get, you're going to get a great deal. Get up to $7,000 over Kelley Blue Book. All right, with Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. It's now time for the Sports Fix at 6. We're giving away a $25 gift card to New Balance Knoxville. They carry everything from footwear in a wide range of sizes and widths to a versatile offering of apparel and accessories. Now, whether it's running, walking, or looking, the wide selection can help you reach your goal. New Balance Knoxville, located at 8027 Kingston Pike, which is near Barnes & Noble. So check it out, New Balance Knoxville. All right, here is the trivia question. The Spurs just had their streak of 22 consecutive years in a row of making the NBA playoffs snapped. They had been tied with one other franchise for the most consecutive years of making the playoffs. Name that franchise. The Spurs had a streak of 22 consecutive years in the NBA playoffs snap. That was tied for the longest streak in the NBA. Name the other team that had a streak of making the playoffs 22 years in a row. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Gary. Gary, you're on the Sports Fix. Oh, Derek. Derek, you're on the Sports Fix.
Yeah, I think I heard this on the radio earlier. Maybe the Philadelphia 76ers, but it started when they were called something else, wasn't it?
That is correct, and you are correct. Yes, that's who it
awesome.
Is. Yeah, that's why I said franchise, but that is it. It's Philadelphia at 22 years in a row. I thought it was Boston. That was my first guess. My second guess, the Lakers. I was wrong, too. But you got it. So I didn't hear what you heard earlier, but it is Philadelphia. I think that streak started in, like, 1949, something like that. But, the answer is Philadelphia. So, Derek, you have won a $25 gift card to New Balance Knoxville. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you. Good job, Derek.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. And that'll do it for the Sports Fix at 6, another one and done. Vince, did you know the answer to that one?
I didn't. I knew about the Spurs streak, obviously, and you may have seen the Greg Popovich postgame and his reaction to that question, which is typical of Pop. But, it's been talked about that the Spurs had that streak. I didn't know which franchise it was tied with them, but I knew the current one with the Spurs, and you know they played really well in the bubble, but yeah, I did not know that answer, Jimmy.
Yeah, so the quote I saw from Popovich, I don't dwell on the past. I was thrilled with the way our team played in the bubble. That's the comment I saw from him.
Well, before that, there was his first exchange was a lot more awkward. He was like, "What streak? What are you talking about?" And the reporter couldn't really explain it. He was just like, you know, your streak of making the playoffs. And he's like, what are you talking about? I don't even know. I haven't even heard about this, or you know, it's just. And then he admitted, oh, I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, he does like to mess with people.
Yeah.
But so a heck of a streak by the Spurs. That is amazing. What they were able to do. I wanted to go back and give a little bit more information on the Tennessee State Women's Amateur. I mentioned that the Lady Vols, Michaela Bardwell, won it. She was 3 under par. She shot 71, 73, 69. She tied for first after the first round. She was tied for second after the second round. She was the leader after the third round and final round. So a very strong 69. But here's what she ended up doing. She started the last day a bit shaky. She went a 38 on the front. She came back with a 31 on the back, which is fantastic. And so she ends up winning the Tennessee State Amateur. Mariah Smith, Lady Vol, won it 2 years ago. She was tied for fourth at 3 over par. And then another Lady Vol, Shelby Lyford, was 4 over par. She tied for 7th. So an outstanding showing by Lady Vols golfers, 3 of the top 7 in the Tennessee State Amateur for them. So, and in fact, Michaela Bardwell is going to join us on Golf Talk on Monday night. And we hope that you will join us as well. That's from 7 to 8 o'clock. We're also going to have our co-host, Braxton Hunter, who's qualified for the National PGA Championships, which will be played in April at Port St. Lucie in Florida. Braxton's been playing some great golf this summer, and so we look forward to talking with him about that performance. And might even have Hunter Walcott, who made the top 32 of the men's national amateur, and that was held out at Bandon Dunes out in Oregon. So that's what we've got lined up for Golf Talk on Monday night. So again, we hope that you join us. Really have enjoyed doing the show with Braxton Hunter, and so as we try to pack in a lot of information, a lot of interviews during that time. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Sierra Burdick. She is a former Lady Vol, and she recently signed up again in the WNBA. I think she had been out since 2018, but back in it. So we look forward to visiting with her when we come back. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, their absolute August sale. Great deals on the Versa, the Rogue, and the Altima. Don't pass it up. You'll find a great deal, and as Scott Gropp will tell you, more for yours, less for theirs. So you will be able to get a great deal at Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Hines with Vince Farrar as we come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, their absolute August sale. So come by and take advantage of this and know that if you're struggling with your credit, they will work with you. Everybody rides Oak Ridge Nissan, their absolute August sale. Vince, we've got a very special guest joining us.
We do. Joining us from the WNBA bubble, she is a Lady Vol grade, an LVFL, if you will. From the WNBA's Las Vegas Aces, Sierra Burdick joins us here on Sports Talk. Sierra, Vince, and Jimmy here in Knoxville. How you doing, Sierra?
Hey, guys. Appreciate y'all having me. How's everybody going? How's everybody doing?
We're good. Great. We'll be better if there's college football, but you know how that goes around here.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm holding my breath. We'll see what happens.
Hey, we're excited for you. Saw that now you're back in the WNBA. Tell us, a couple games in now, how that opportunity for you came to be to get back into the WNBA.
I'm gonna be honest with you guys. It was pretty random. I did a recent interview and I kind of already told this story, but I'll tell it again. I was actually on the way to the airport with my mom. And we were about to fly out to Minneapolis for a little family gathering. And on the way to the airport, I got a call from my agent just asking me, hey, C, you want to go play some basketball? And I'm like, of course, E, I always want to play basketball. You know this. And he said, well, you want to go play some WNBA basketball? And I'm like, okay, who are we talking about? And he was like, yeah, well, you know, one of your old friends. And I'm like, there's no freaking way, man. There's no way that you're talking about Bill Laimbeer. And he was like, yep, you're the Las Vegas Aces. And I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I was like, I had mixed emotions, you know, because Bill and I obviously have history. And but then again, I'm like super grateful for the opportunity. And, you know, so I get the details and my agent tells me you'll fly out tonight. So I basically had to take my mom to the airport, drop her off. She got on the flight to Minneapolis. I drove back to my house, unpacked, repacked, and then was on a flight that night from Charlotte to Vegas. So that's kind of how everything went down. Pretty sporadic, pretty fast-paced.
For people that hadn't heard that backstory with Bill Laimbeer, explain what that was like as much as you could say on the radio, I guess.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody knows what type of guy Bill Laimbeer is, you know, and he's a bad boy. And I think he'll be that through and through till his last day. So, It was an adjustment getting used to him in New York. I played with them, I guess it was in 2017. I was played in New York, made the roster, played for maybe a month or 2 months, and then our point guard went down with an Achilles, and so we had to bring in another point guard, and so I got cut. But yeah, he's an interesting guy. You know, I've been telling people we kind of have a love-hate relationship. There's respect there. I obviously respect him as a coach, as a basketball operations guy. He's a player's coach, you know. And this stint has been a little bit better than the stint in New York. I will say that.
Sierra, what's it like playing in the bubble?
I didn't really know what to expect coming into this, but it's been pretty awesome. You know, everything. I feel very safe. We're testing every day. I've been saying that, you know, I think the NBA and the WNBA players are probably in the safest place in the country, to be honest. So, you know, our days are pretty low key. There's not a ton to do here in the bubble. But, you know, we've got on game days, it's pretty routine. We've got our shoot around, we've got our meals. We head to the game and we play. On off days, it's, again, pretty routine. I typically get my cardio in, my lifts, I'll practice. We've got testing. And then in the downtime, we've got cornhole, we've got a pool. There's a couple excursions that you can go to on some off days. Obviously, they're socially distanced from everybody else, but I think we're in a good setting.
Now, surely there haven't been as many WNBA players trying to sneak out of the bubble as there were NBA players, right?
You know, I think in the beginning, I heard, rumor was, there was a few that tried to sneak out, but that got nipped in the bud very quickly, and I haven't heard anything since then.
Sierra, tell me how playing with the Lady Vols help prepare you for the WNBA?
First of all, you know, coming from Tennessee, it's defensive rebounding, you know, and that's the same way that Bill runs his team. It's all about, he'll say two by two by two, getting stops, getting rebounds, and then going down on the offensive end, executing, playing team ball. We also played inside out at Tennessee, and, you know, we have that same approach here with Las Vegas. You know, we want to pound the ball inside to Asia, D'Erica. Obviously, when Liz is playing with them, you know, they're pounding the ball in the paint. So I think it was an easy translation, easy transition for me to go from playing at Tennessee and especially coming into Bill's system and the way that he likes to play. Just as far as, you know, we're going to get paint points and we're going to get stops and we're going to rebound. So definitely the same fundamentals that Pat believed in.
Sierra, what about being ready to play? How ready do you think you were in terms of your basketball game? Conditioning is different when you're playing games, obviously. But how did you feel about how ready you were getting back in with Las Vegas?
I felt pretty confident just because, you know, I train the way I train, whether I have a contract or not. I realized that at any time you can get a call, at any time my agent can say, hey, this team wants you. And plus, this is what I love to do. You know, I'm obsessed with basketball. I'm obsessed with the process. I'm obsessed with getting better. So whether I have a next game or a next contract or whatever the case may be to look forward to, I'm training. So even when I was at home in quarantine, you know, I was training every single day. So me coming here into the Wubble, I had, you know, very minimum issues as far as getting my body in shape. Obviously, there's nothing that can get you into game shape but games. But I'm confident in how my body is feeling and the training that I've been able to do and the work that I've been able to put in.
So the no fan thing, I know that's been an adjustment. It looks good on TV, both for the WNBA and the NBA. What's that adjustment been like for you, considering where you played in college, where it was a packed house for a lot of times?
Yeah, I think both leagues did a really good job of just setting the courts up. The soundstage is pretty cool, and it is definitely a more intimate environment. I think the worst thing is just, like, the wins are so anticlimactic. Like, you win, and, like, it's just, okay, let's walk to the locker room now. You know, there's, like, there's no fans, like, clapping. There's no fist bumps or anything. It's just, like, there is no – it's, like, you know, you just play the game, and then you're, like, all right, well, on to the next one. Like, there's not really any type of celebration. So that's the biggest, like, adjustment. Obviously, when you're in the game as well as players, you don't – you know the fans are there, but you totally aren't in tune to them anyway. So I don't think there's a huge adjustment, like, in-game. But definitely, like, just post-game, you're like, where's the fans to cheer us on for this win? They're not there. So you just kind of, you know, like I said, anticlimactic. You go back to the locker room, you get your post-game speech, and then you're on the bus headed back to the hotel.
When we talked to Kyle Alexander from the NBA bubble with the Miami Heat, he was talking about seeing some of his former teammates in other VFLs, but then other guys were sort of spread out there because they got a lot of teams there. Have you been able to interact with the other Lady VFLs in the WNBA in your bubble?
I have. Honestly, my first day here in the bubble, I saw Strick and Mercedes and Izzy B. Glory came in a little bit later, got to see Glow a little bit. And then Izzy B, I mean, that's like my sister. So we've been hanging out. Like the other night we were making a vlog, and I'm going to plug Izzy B's YouTube channel. Go subscribe. She's throwing up content, you know, from inside the wubble. I just gave her a tattoo, so you guys can go check that out there.
Wow.
On her vlog. So we're trying to find ways to just stay busy. You know, we're getting real creative. There's only, like I said, there's only so much that you can do here in the Wubble. So you definitely got to get creative in your free time.
So if I want a tattoo, I know where to go.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. I'm the best tattoo artist in the Wubble. I'll say that.
Sierra, tell me what you think Kobe Bryant meant to the WNBA.
I mean, huge. I mean, there's not even words to describe just the impact that he had on the W. His support was so genuine, and he truly wanted to see the growth of the game. And he wasn't somebody that just did it with words. He wasn't like, hey, show up, watch the W. Like, he showed up himself. He was there. He was investing time in the players. He made sure his daughters and his mamacitas were working out with the future WNBA stars. He made sure that he was taking them to games so that they could see, you know, this is an ideal dream for you. You can accomplish this. I mean, he was one of our biggest supporters. And, you know, it was huge what he did for us, you know, because if the best in the game can support the W, there's no excuse for anyone else, you know, male or female, to not support the W and respect the W. I think there's a lot of people that continue to hate the WNBA and don't respect it. But you see the best of the best in the basketball world on the men's side, and they respect our game and they respect what we can do. And so that's huge. I think he was a trailblazer in that sense. And meant in a sense that he truly loved the WNBA. He was truly committed seeing it grow and get more exposure, not only for the current players, but for the future, you know, for his daughter and for his organization and for other young hoopers around the world. He wanted to make sure that they knew, hey, you can dream big and you can accomplish it, and this is what you can do.
So what can the WNBA do to continue to grow and to continue to gain exposure?
Viewership. I mean, it just comes down to viewership. We have to get, and I think this season is big. I mean, we've had a ton of ESPN, ESPN2 games. We've got the Twitter games back. And I think it's people getting to know us outside the court, because there's so many dope women in the WNBA. Like, they have so many passions outside of what you see on the court. And I've never been around so many women that are intelligent, well-rounded. They speak up for what they believe in. They are committed to creating a better environment and community. They're committed to doing what they can to bring social change and social justice. And, you know, the NBA and the WNBA are probably the most outspoken leagues when it comes to standing up for what they believe in. And it's just, it's an honor to be a part of this group of 144 women. And to answer your question, I think it comes down to just people learning the stories of the players, learning where they came from, what they're doing now, not just on the court, but in their lives outside the court. And it's hard not to be a fan. It really is.
Sierra, you guys are among the league leaders, I think second in the league right now in the standings. Tell me about how you view the Aces' chances moving forward to try to get that WNBA championship.
I'm not trying to jinx anybody, but I think we've been playing really well lately. We've got Asia Wilson, who's been unstoppable. We've got Angel McCautry, who continues to just blow my mind night in and night out. Some of the stuff that she does on the court, I mean, I told her today that she split two defenders last night and just exploded for a layup. And I said, Mac, I don't even know how you did that. And she just tried to break it down for me and, like, walk through the move. And so it's fun to learn from her and to see her, because there's nobody in this league that plays like Angel McCautry. And then Kayla McBride is starting to catch heat with her outside jumper. And then Jackie Young is an up-and-coming force to be reckoned with in this league. And De'Erica Hamby plays nonstop with a ton of energy. So I just think we have a ton of pieces that can show up any night. And we have an incredibly deep bench. I think we're well-coached. We're always prepared. So I think that's going to take us a long ways. But we just have to, you know, continue to come in each and every day, stay focused, and play 40 minutes of basketball. That's what it comes down to. And stay healthy.
Yeah, De'Erica is one of my favorite, outside of the Lady Vols, one of my favorite players in the WNBA. She's fantastic. And obviously, Asia Wilson is elite. Hey, last thing, we had Izzy on a couple of weeks ago as well, and she told us that she shouted out to Krispy Kreme to try to get some donuts into the WNBA bubble. Was she successful, do you know, to get some Krispy Kreme in there?
I don't think she was. Izzy B is the fattest skinny person that I know. I went to her room the other night and she had nothing, but I'm totally blasting her right now. But it was candy. It was chocolate. It was hot Cheetos. I'm like, I have no idea how your body looks the way it does. But listen, Krispy Kreme, help Izzy B out. Get some donuts in here for her. You know, we'll blast it on social media.
Absolutely. Hey, give Sierra a follow on Twitter, a fantastic follow on Twitter. Sierra, thank you so much for the time. Really enjoy talking to you today. Thank you so much. Best of luck. By the way, Twitter handle C_Burdick11 on Twitter in Las Vegas Aces. Thanks so much, Sierra. Good to talk to you. Stay healthy, all right?
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Sierra.
All right. That is Sierra Burdick, terrific Lady Vol in the WNBA. Good to see her back in great spirits and on a good team as well, which is cool.
And that is Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Steve Hamer, because it'll be Hamer time. He's got a lot to talk about. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale, lowest prices of the year, and know that Oak Ridge Nissan is Tennessee's number one volume Nissan dealer. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
43 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go Hawks!
Stop. Hammer time. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
That music always cuts into Steve Hamer's time, because we got to listen to that before we get coming back to the show. We love it. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrar. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale. This is Sports Talk. We're now joined by Steve Hamer, VFL. And Steve, how are you doing?
Jimmy, I'm doing great. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening right now that wish that you'd bump my segment completely in favor of playing that whole song.
Well, not the whole song. I just pulled a hamstring dancing once again. But, hey, I know this is an exciting day for you. Tennessee gets a commitment from Kennedy Chandler, point guard, number one rated point guard in the country out of Memphis. Got him over North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, and Memphis. This is an outstanding player. This is a great job by Tennessee staff to get Kennedy Chandler.
Oh, just a fantastic get. You know, I was sitting in my office today on the Hill and just waiting with bated breath for the decision to come. And several colleagues of mine were just kind of gathered together, just thinking, man, how far Tennessee basketball has come in recent history. You know, when you talk about the fact that we've had 7 5-stars since the year 2000, now Rick Barnes has 4, to his credit alone, just in the last couple, 3 years. So what a humongous get. And furthermore, Jimmy, it's a real shot in the arm for Tennessee athletics right now, especially given the fact that there's so much uncertainty in the air with football and basketball and COVID. And, you know, just a real shot in the arm. And just very, very happy for Rick Barnes and the Tennessee basketball family.
Chandler said that he is a very good recruiter, and he's after several 6'9", 6'10", power forward type players. And you, of course, were a 7-footer. How appealing would it be if a outstanding point guard had come to you and said, hey, join me at my school?
You need no further, Jimmy, than to watch some of his highlight reels on YouTube if you're a big guy out there potentially looking to you know, have a tandem with a highly touted point guard of his stature. I mean, the guy can score at every level. He's got a great mid-range jumper, can penetrate and kick. And the thing about him, Jimmy, is that he's a willing passer. You know, Sometimes you get a point guard that is shoot first, and passing is the last option, especially if you're a scorer at that position. But he's a willing passer. So, you know, the scuttlebutt is that, you know, there may be another guy or two out there that are looking to link up with him, and I certainly hope that's the truth. But just couldn't be more excited for Tennessee basketball. The fact that we are at the table, you know, you know, Tennessee's hat was in the center, front and center, and you know, outflanking the Duke and the Kentucky hat. So just that we were in the conversation with those powerhouses speaks volumes of where Tennessee basketball has come.
Stephen Kennedy Chandler's announcement, a video that he put out on Instagram, he said, I will always rep my city, but I wanted to play for my state. He's committed to the University of Tennessee. How powerful is that quote right there in recruiting?
That's very powerful. When you look at the fact that he is obviously in what I still call Memphis State's background, he's right there on their campus virtually, and we were able to get him out of the city of Memphis, which I knew it was going to be tough, especially given the fact that Penny has done a really good job of recruiting down there and turning that program around. But I think he played his cards right by coming out with a statement like that he is not forgetting his roots. He is not forgetting the people that have poured into him throughout his young life, and that he'll always rep that city, but he wants to do something bigger for his state. So I think he appeased the people in Memphis, if you will, while making the people here on Rocky Top very, very happy.
Well, he gave it a good try, if nothing else.
He gave it a good shot, a good old college try.
That's right. Steve, it obviously there's 2 5-stars that are on this year's team, and Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. I know the world of college athletics is changing, but what do you think about the possibility, if those two guys stay, that you could see Chandler together with Springer and Johnson at UT?
Wow. You know, I'm sitting here, Vince, just licking my chops right now for the opportunity to see that trio along with, you know, Josiah Jordan-James and the group that could potentially be there at that particular point in time when Kennedy Chandler arrives. You've got just immense talent at every position at that point. You know, maybe they're lacking in a big, but who knows? Maybe Rick Barnes is not done for this recruiting cycle, and they get one. But I'm licking my chops because we could legitimately, you know, it's always been a dream. Okay, Tennessee's going to get to the Final Four one day, but that's not a pipe dream anymore. With the way that Coach Barnes is recruiting, they could potentially get to that Final Four and make some noise there. So, you know, but wouldn't it be the most Tennessee thing that could happen if we accumulate all this talent and somehow or another we don't get to see them on the court because of the current pandemic?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And on that topic of potential one-and-dones, what do you think about that decision for guys? I mean, Keon Johnson's on some first-round mock drafts for next year. He hadn't even suited up for Tennessee yet. What do you think about kids and that decision potentially to be one-and-done now in college basketball?
Well, I think you bring up a good point because, you know, when you look at the current landscape, especially concerning COVID-19, I think a lot of kids are going to go that route if they're afforded that opportunity, A, because they don't want to risk any injury or perhaps coming down with the said virus. You know, that why risk that chance when you can go on and play after 1 year and make millions of dollars? And B, I think that in a case like Keon, where so many eyes are on him already without having played a second at, you know, the collegiate level, you know, it's just smart. If someone's willing to give you millions of dollars to play the game of basketball, you know, college is very important. I'm a firm believer in that. You know, I went back, got my degree. It's very important. But at the same time, you know, very few guys come out of college, graduate from college, and are given the opportunity to make $1 million right away. So, you know, it'd be smart of the kid if they've got a chance to go ahead and do it.
Our guest, Steve Hamer, BFL, he joins us on the Stanley Fenson Gates Hotline. Steve, when you look at the NBA, Damon Lillard's been hot, just in case you haven't noticed. He's averaged 51.3 points his last three games. There haven't been a whole lot of players that have been on quite a roll like what Damon Lillard is on.
Jimmy, I don't know that I scored 51 points my entire rookie year with the Celtics. You talk about a guy that is on fire, but, you know, he has such a knack for knocking down big-time shots. I mean, the other night he stepped across the midline and put it up and had the confidence that he's going to knock it down. So, you know, he is playing right now with supreme confidence. I'm just sad that Devin Booker and the Suns were not able to get into the playoffs because I thought that they would have added a lot of excitement to that last play-in game. I think that Memphis, quite frankly, is probably out of gas. You know, they lost their second leading scorer. Ja Morant's playing a ton of minutes. I think they're just out of gas, and I think it's going to be Portland's seed to lose.
I want to get your take on this. There have been a number of great players come out of Kentucky that did well in the NBA. Anthony Davis, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins. I thought Booker was real good. He's better than I thought. Is Booker better than you thought he would be in the NBA after his Kentucky career?
Absolutely. He is much better than I ever thought. But, you know, when you really think about it, Jimmy, a lot of guys that go to Kentucky kind of get lost in the in the shuffle because they have so many guys that can go on and play at the next level. They don't have enough basketball. So, therefore, when you look at someone like a Devin Booker, who has an incredible talent, well, you know, he gets lost in the shuffle. You know, he can't take all the shots because you got all these other guys that need shots as well. And that's where Calipari does a marvelous job at just blending personalities and characters and just, you know, making them this tapestry of just great players. And they're always in it at the end. So I never thought that Devin Booker would be that type of player, that type of scorer. But, wow, just an incredible talent.
All right, they pretty much set, except for one game, who's going to be playing whom in the playoffs in the NBA. Give me your favorite and give me a dark horse.
Well, hey, you know, I may be crazy for saying this, but I think that the layoff, the rust versus rest, if you will, has played a vital role in what we're seeing right now from someone like LeBron James, who just doesn't quite look himself. I don't know if you guys have watched him or watched many of the games since he's been back, but he doesn't look quite himself. And then, you know, conversely in the East, when you look at Giannis, you know, he gets tossed for a game for headbutting a guy of all things. So, you know, there are some chinks in the armor. And right now, you look at someone like the Celtics who smell blood in the water right now. I like the Raptors. The Raptors have really come on strong here despite losing Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers. They're still playing at a championship level. Matter of fact, they beat the Bucks the other night by 25 points. So, you know, I still think that the Celtics and the Lakers will find a way to get there, but I would not be surprised if you see a Clippers and a Clippers and a Raptors final. And wouldn't that be something for Kawhi Leonard to leave the Raptors and go to the Clippers? Now he's got to face his former team in a winner take all. That would be fantastic television.
Do you think Portland is dangerous the way Lillard is playing?
I think they're very dangerous. And if I'm the coach of the Lakers, man, I'm kind of nervous about that matchup because you got someone that's extremely hot with Damian Lillard. CJ McCollum has been playing injured since he's gotten back to the bubble, but now he's kind of rounded himself back into shape. And they're dangerous, man. Carmelo Anthony has got just a bevy of experience in the playoffs. So they're dangerous. And with the fact that the Lakers are rusty, LeBron's trying to get his sea legs back, it could be anybody's game in the West.
Do you think the Lakers have rested LeBron too much? Do you think he needed to knock off some of the rust?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think he needed to knock some of that rust off. And now it's too late because you're going to come into a first-round series with a team that is exuding, that is brimming with confidence at this point. And they think they can beat anybody. You know, when you got a guy like Damian Lillard who shoots a three and looks at the opponent's bench and tells their best player that you should be out here. I want your best defender on me, you know, at the next sub in. They're playing pretty confident, you know. They're ready to go.
Did you ever do that?
No. I did not. I wasn't brimming with that type of confidence, so I did not have that opportunity.
Hey, Steve Hamer, thank you for joining us. Always appreciate it. We look forward to your visit again next week, and we'll talk more about what's going on with the NBA and perhaps college basketball.
Excuse me, Vince. Thank y'all so much. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Steve. You too. And that is VFL Steve Hamer. He joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. When we come back, we'll have our final segment. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale. Come by and check it out. Don't miss out on their lowest prices of the year. With Vince Farrar, I'm Jimmy Hamm, Sports Talk 99.1, the sports animal.
This ain't your mama's radio station. Unless you've got a really cool mama. 99.1, the sports animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale. Folks, you won't get a better deal than right now. Lowest prices of the year on the Versa, the Rogue, the Altima. Come by and check it out. Unbelievable deals at Oak Ridge Nissan. All right, Vince, I heard on Sports 180 earlier, this was reported by The Athletic, that there was a recruit that got a message from an SEC coach that said, hey, we're playing this fall. We care more about football. Now, one, I find it interesting that that would be said. Secondly, there's no guarantee the SEC or the ACC or the Big 12 is going to play. So I wonder what the message would be if we find out in the next week or two that those conferences have decided not to play this fall.
Well, first of all, I'm not surprised that they would use that, whether they're going to play or not. It's recruiting, so you use anything, and it's always subject to change. So, yeah, they just blame it on something else, and it just got the numbers got too bad, and you just make an excuse afterwards. But you try to use it to your advantage in the meantime, so that does not surprise me.
Here's another thought about people transferring. Colleges are starting soon. So if you want to get in that transfer portal and then you want to make sure that you can go to another school and be eligible right away, that decision has to come pretty soon. And you could actually make that decision and then find out a week or two later, whatever, that conference has decided to shut it down as well. So that's a bit of a gamble for anybody looking to transfer right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I haven't really heard of anything, of any noteworthy transfers here recently since this all went down. One thing I did see today is that the NCAA denied a transfer waiver for Virginia Tech running back Raheem Blackshear, who was requesting immediate eligibility, and the NCAA said no. Why? Why would you deny them? That's still happening? It's just, I don't know. I don't know the details of that, but it's just typical NCAA.
Well, it's so inconsistent, you never know what you're going to get. And then there was a number one recruit in the country who was headed to Ohio State. He said he's going to skip his senior year of high school because they're not going to play high school football in Ohio and get ready to go to Ohio State. That's the second player headed to Ohio State doing that, and there's one going to North Carolina. Interesting.
Yeah, that didn't surprise me either. I think in some places, parts of the country, you could see that as well.
Yep. Hey, Vince, I appreciate it. Great job this week. Enjoyed it, and hope you have a great weekend.
Had fun. You too. Thanks, Jimmy.
And we want to thank the folks here at Oak Ridge Nissan. Their absolute August sale going on. Take advantage of it. This has been Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.